Blog Talk Radio. Greetings, 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 and welcome to Infinite Vibrations. I am your host, Tashi K.D. Cooper. And we are delighted and excited today because we are going to be talking about self-care, which really hits home for me because Infinite Vibrations is always talking about different ways on how you can enhance your vibration. And definitely self-care will help get the vibration emanate in a more powerful way. And so with that being said, I am honored and excited to introduce to you Ms. Anana Harris-Paris, who has created this movement that she's pioneered and currently steering on behalf of self-care. Mrs. Paris, are you there?
I am here. How are you? Good morning, Tashi.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm excited.
Me too. Thank you so much for joining us and joining me on this day after Thanksgiving. Did you enjoy your holiday?
I typically spend it with family and really filling my stomach up with everything that I probably shouldn't. But I really enjoy myself. So, yeah, I really did enjoy myself yesterday.
Good, and I know that's a part of all self-care, making sure you enjoy yourself. And for me, I did absolutely nothing. I needed to rest. I've been working.
That's excellent.
You did overtime.
Something. You rejuvenated. Yeah.
Yes, I did, and feel really good about it. So let's just go ahead and get into this interview. Tell us about yourself.
Well, I am a woman, a person, a human, just trying to make sure that every day of my life I am in purpose with why I'm here. I always say from the self-care movement to being a mother to being a wife to having a career and enjoying things, there's so much of that that I would never choose to do if it wasn't my purpose. There are so many difficulties and challenges that come with all of those titles, in addition to joys. However, those challenges and difficulties, if it wasn't my purpose to do those things, then I most certainly would not do it. So I'm really just a person trying to stay in line with her purpose every day. And through that, I've founded a few different initiatives and businesses, and I'm excited to share with you what those are.
Yes, yeah. So why don't you go ahead and just tell us what self-care means to you? Like, what inspired you to advocate for such an awesome cause?
Well, I'll tell you, in general, self-care means self-worth. And that can be a revolution when your environment is not supporting your total self-care. That means your spiritual, emotional, economic, artistic, physical, educational, and social self-care. Self-care in and of itself is based on a need, not a want. It's based on what you need to feel whole, to be a whole person. And quite often self-care is confused with being selfish. This is a ploy.
Yes.
It's a ploy to make taking care of yourself feel like an act that pulls you away from helping and caring about others. It's not. In fact, self-care helps to draw you closer as it's based on a need. Knowing what you need is one of the most intimate ways you can support yourself. If you're not intimately close with yourself and your needs, you most certainly will have trouble connecting and having compassion for others. When your pockets are light, for example, because you haven't focused on your economic self-care, which is being proactive and managing your time, money, and energy, you're not able to be reliable to others. You're not a reliable resource. You're not addressing your needs, and it's hard to support others when you're not doing that. So a balance of self-care and caring for others is essential to bettering our lives. in our community. So self-care means all of that to me. Typically people say, oh, what is that, a pedicure, a manicure? Oh, no, no. This is tied to my self-worth. It's an activity that allows me to feel whole. So that's how I see the term self-care.
I love that. Wow. And so how long have you been advocating for self-care? Or, like, when did the switch kind of turn on? Like, maybe you've been doing it all along, but, like, when did it become first?
You know, I wasn't doing it all along at all. And I knew that I needed something. I knew that I was missing something. I tend to like something to refer to, some kind of a formula, not a rigid one, but just some type of a bearing for what's going on and how things change and how life can sometimes sucker punch you. I really never had a sustainable recovery plan for things. And there's nothing concrete in life. You know, the only thing that's consistent in life is change, as they say. But I knew that I needed something. I just didn't know what it was. And the moment I realized having a self-care program for myself in all those categories was what I needed was the day that I delivered my son. It was, you know, there are some beautiful stories of delivery, and I am grateful because the outcome is he's happy and healthy. He's a 5-year-old little boy that I love so, so much.
Yes.
However, my delivery story was pretty challenging. It was emergency C-section, and the epidural really didn't work. They had given me several dosages of the epidural. It didn't work, but they had to go in anyway, and so I endured process and, you know, had a very difficult recovery from it. And it just, I bottomed out. It was a traumatic experience physically, emotionally, spiritually. It was something that I never thought that I would ever have to experience. And it left me feeling a connection to a type of suffering that I would only see on television. You know, I think that I went through challenges in my life, however, never a challenge like that. And there were moments where I looked at myself in the mirror with the staples in and a crying baby that I still had to nurse. And I just looked in the mirror and I just didn't want to be here anymore. I didn't know what to do to take care of myself. I didn't have family there at the time. I didn't know that I should have been more aggressive about having support right after the C-section that I didn't plan on having. And so postpartum, post-traumatic, post-everything, it sank in and I realized, wow, I really need to get serious about my thoughts from a self-care perspective, my strategies, asking for help. And that's when the journey began. It was really out of desperation.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I wasn't expecting that. That's so profound. Wow. Well, I'm glad that something came to you and you decided, okay, this is what I need to do. This is how I need to be with myself. So with that being said, is your message targeted towards women or do you include men as well?
Yeah, self-care doesn't have a gender. You know, I tend to have a more spiritual perspective, and so I definitely am not out to genderize the movement. I have a personal experience that is very relatable to a lot of women. I am a woman. However, the movement is for everyone. I think that women raise sons and women are in relationships with men. And when there's a mismatch of self-care focused behavior, you know, you can develop resentment. You can develop unhealthy relationships. You can detach yourself from your own responsibility of taking care of yourself, which makes it difficult to connect with another person, and that doesn't have a gender on it. It doesn't have an age on it. It's just one of those journeys as people we really have to walk. We have to walk that walk and figure out how we can be responsible for addressing our needs, which can include asking for help from others, having a self-care dream team, people that are wise in each of those areas. So there are all kinds of activities that are non-gender specific. I do self-care presentations and talks to all male groups where there's specific thought patterns for men and some thought patterns stereotypically for women that tend to fit, but that is not always the case. Some people are interchangeable in their self-care habits and their behaviors and where they want to go in life.
Right, right. I know that you speak to young girls. At what age do you encourage parents to encourage self-care for children in general, girls or boys?
Oh, as soon as they can listen and hear, as soon as they come out. I think it's one of those conversations of, you know, how do you teach or when do you start teaching self-worth? You know, when do you start teaching to your child how they are to be included in the world, when it's important for them to know they're a whole person, that they're not just pieces of a person, that it's not just important for them to be excellent in one area of their life. They should be able to feel whole as they pursue excellence in every area. It doesn't mean that they're going to be perfect and that the expectation is perfect, but you want them to care about how they're doing, care about how they're feeling, be aware of themselves. So whatever age you think someone should be able to learn to respect themselves and know their own self-worth is when you should start. So my son, we were driving in the car, and he said, "Mommy, can we watch a movie when we get home?" And I said, "Yes, Mommy's going to take a shower first." He said, "But I want to watch a movie first." I said, "Well, I understand you want to watch a movie. Mommy taking a shower is how she takes care of herself, and that's very important, because it's important for you to take care of yourself as well." So that's an example of a conversation with a child that gives them the opportunity to learn what that means without guessing or trying to figure it out along the way in life.
Yeah. What, in speaking to the young girls or kids in general, how receptive are they? And I guess, is it a difference in receptivity amongst age groups?
I think it depends on the topic. I think like any type of conversation with someone that's at a different stage in their life, you know, you want to have a relatable topic. And so when I speak to young girls, this desire to feel like they're normal or they're not, that what they're experiencing in their lives, there's nothing wrong with them, is really important.
Yeah.
And so I pick these topics that, you know, make them feel more normal, like there's nothing wrong with you. This is the process that you're going through, and it's amazing how many people don't say that to young girls and to young boys. This happened to me, and this is where, you know, this is how I handled it. You know, I tell a story to young girls about not knowing how to do my hair, and one of my best friends from school walked by, and my hair was soaking wet. My father raised me primarily, and so there are a lot of things I just didn't know. So here I am, a sophomore at Howard University, and I was standing in the mirror, and I said, "Oh, I don't think I need to blow dry my hair with it being soaking wet with the perm. I think I'm just going to take the flat iron, and I'm going to dry it and flat iron it at the same time." And I just thought it was the smartest thing in the world that nobody else figured out. And so the young girls, they fell out laughing. They were like, "No, I can't believe it." And I told them, I said, "I put that flat iron to my dripping wet permed hair, and it snapped, crackled, and popped all the way down, and I confidently watched the steam fill up in the mirror, and my best friend, who at the time wasn't my best friend, was totally different than I am, completely opposite, she walked by, never been in an altercation a day in her life. She did a moonwalk back, and she said, "What are you doing?" We didn't even know each other that well. She said, "What are you doing? Take that out of your hair." And I'm telling you, the girls, they died laughing. Their assumption is that as grown women, you know, we pop out of the womb knowing everything to do, and
right.
we don't.
No,
a lot of us
no.
that even grow up with our mothers, you know, there are things that we're just not taught in terms of how we take care of ourselves physically, financially, emotionally. They're just these missing pieces of this mystery self-care manual that nobody really has. We all are just trying to figure out. So I focus when I talk to young people on this feeling of normalcy and the process, the normal process of learning how to take care of yourself. But I also arm them with the ability to ask for help, with the tools to be able to create their own self-care plan through life, to get very strategic and proactive, because to win as a young person in this world, especially a young person of color, you have got to be proactive and strategic. You have got to start identifying your needs early and then identifying those who are focused on you addressing your needs and excelling in life. And that type of strategic scanning of people and situations is something that's rarely taught. It's a type of life strategy that I love sharing with them, because I hear back from them, I get emails, and they say, you know, I really thought about that, and when this situation occurred, I said, well, is this a part of my self-care plan? And it makes my heart thump and my throat fill up just thinking about it, because not only do I want that for them, but I think about myself at that age and how I would have loved for someone to help me with some self-care strategies.
Yes. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. I'm so excited that you created this, because young girls, they really, really need it, and they need mentors. And I don't know, in your dream team, do you have mentors that you assign to the young girls sometimes, or something that you're going to start maybe?
Well, what's exciting is that when I do speak to young girls and young audiences, they're always the parents and the teachers and the adults around. And what happens is, by default, they're learning this mindset, this framework, this approach of using self-care as more of a lifestyle. So they're absorbing it for themselves, and they're learning what part they can play, which is being a dream team member. You know, there are people who are certified in certain areas of study, and they're very knowledgeable, but they don't necessarily care if you're doing well. And so a self-care dream team member, which is one of the components of your self-care plan, is a person that excels in a particular area, whether they're certified or not, and they also care about what's going on with you, and they're able to deliver, you know, really great advice and offer up some guidance at different checkpoints along the way. So these adults that are attending the same conferences, I spoke at an all-girls conference, and, you know, the mothers and the counselors and the teachers were listening intently, and they said, wow, you know, I want my own self-care dream team, and I want to be somebody's dream team member.
Yeah. Well, tell us about Self-Care Day, and where can people join you this year to acknowledge and celebrate self-care?
Oh, I am glad you asked. Well, Self-Care Day is December 4th.
Nice!
It is December 4th, and that's every year. It was, I just had a series of experiences, and it hit me. I said, wow, this is what... if this is what someone feels like at the lowest moment, at their most vulnerable moment in their life, and they have an opportunity when no one else is around and they're all by themselves to either say, you know what, I'm going to take excellent care of myself, or I'm going to choose to not be here anymore, then I think there needs to be an official holiday called Self-Care Day, so that there can be a way to reach more people, so there can be a way to give someone an excuse to say, well, you know, well, it's a holiday, if they feel too guilty, or give someone that's in charge of a team of people or a business to say, you know, I want to encourage you taking care of yourself, because when you take care of yourself, my business grows. The family does better. We have healthier relationships. I wanted to create an excuse and also infiltrate what happens within these different governmental structures when decisions are being made about a community. There's a massive disconnect between self-care choices, right, and mm-hmm. the choices that are made to better a community. You know, if I'm not paying attention to my bank account on a regular basis, it's going to be hard for me to vote on something that's financially impactful in my community because they're connected. So it has a few different benefits to it being a self-care day, and we started in 2011, and the city of Atlanta adopted a self-care day, and we promoted dance and music and culture as a form of self-care, as well as self-care planning, and it was a wonderful mm-hmm. proclamation ceremony. And then we had 2 years later, the city of Savannah, in partnership with a wonderful organization there. So there's a self-care day on December 4th in the city of Savannah, Georgia. And then just this year, we've adopted a self-care day in DeKalb County, which became in effect last week. Very exciting. DeKalb County is a really, thank you. And I have to thank Candace McKinley. She's an attorney in the area, and Commissioner Larry Johnson, and all of those in the Sister Care Alliance. That's an organization that promotes the Self-Care Day movement that helped to make that happen. And what's exciting is this coming December 4th, we have a fourth city to add to the Ooh. Roster. Yes, I'm so excited. And it's the city of Lithonia. It's the city of Lithonia. Mm-hmm. Nice. So we are going to be at the city of Lithonia's City Hall at 12:30 next Friday. A very courageous, intelligent, and powerful mayor by the name of Mayor Deborah Jackson. She and all of her council members, I got a chance to present and propose the notion of a self-care day at their city council meeting, and they all accepted that their city deserves that. So we're going to be celebrating at 12:30. I hope people can come out. And the beauty of a self-care day is it's annual. It's on the books. It's on record forever. When I'm, you know, dead and gone, there's going to be a self-care day. And these different municipalities and institutions get the opportunity to continue celebrating the day however it helps to benefit themselves and the people that support them. So you can get more information at selfcareday.com. That's selfcareday.com. And if you'd like a self-care day in your city or your county, all you have to do is reach out and let me know. And we'll come out there if you like a presentation, a talk, whatever it is, we are ready. This is something that I'm just 100% up at night promoting, and it's really impactful. So selfcareday.com is where they can get the information.
Okay, and why don't you tell us about the different products you offered and how people can purchase them from you?
Yes, well, Self-Care Agency is the for-profit extension of all my passions, and it's where I am able to go out and be a speaker. I'm able to also offer products that have helped me when I looked in the mirror after having my son and just felt lost. I just talked to myself. I said, you know, what did you used to do? And I loved affirmations, and so I had this idea. I said, well, let me ask my artistic self-care dream team member, Koteva. She's a phenomenal artist and Renaissance woman. I called her and I asked, how can I make soap? And I now make soap that has affirmations on the inside, because one of the strategies for taking better care of yourself is you have to layer something that can help change your mindset with a normal everyday activity. So I now have the self-care soap, Niara, the self-care soap. And it has organic sugar, it's scented, and every time I wash my hands, I say, I am beautiful and my body is healthy. I'm beautiful and my body is healthy. Or I take great care of my finances every day, or whatever phrase I need for that moment. And the phrase, I am beautiful and my body is healthy, is what I did not feel after having my son. I really felt I just felt the opposite. And I cried the first time I washed my hands while saying it. And the second time I cried a little bit, the third time I cried less, and the fourth time I started to feel more beautiful and healthy. So I love this soap. I love it. People can go to selfcareagency.com and place an order for their soap. And then we have a scrub as well that has magnesium crystals and beautiful scents that relax your muscles, and it's creamy, and I love it. So you can get that as well. I have a Self-Care Matters journal and playbook, and I'll be launching the Self-Care Matters Revolutionary Approach, which is a text that teaches you how to start your own self-care support group, and it takes all the principles of the self-care movement and puts it all in one book with all these contributing self-care stories and from different people, mothers, men. We have a great segment about security. You know, when you go out and being able to defend yourself, well, that has to do with self-care. So I'll be launching that book within the next month.
Oh, wow. You are a busy lady, huh?
Yes, yeah.
To say the least.
And I want to say it's with help. You know, I also have a passion for social justice, so I'm the Director of Operations and Community Affairs for the Davis-Bozeman Law Firm. And to say that I'm supposed to be here and it's part of my purpose in life to help contribute to the growth of this institution that Attorney Molly Davis and Robert Bozeman started would be an understatement. I think that part of self-care is protecting yourself and knowing your rights and understanding what's going on in your community is a form of protection. And that's some of the best self-care you could do. So I have the support of the Davis-Bozeman Law Firm, Sister Care Alliance, and several individuals that have just ridden with me on this journey. My husband, Derek Paris, my family members, my good girlfriend. So I'm not doing any of this alone. None of this is happening because of just me.
That's awesome. So why don't you go ahead and tell everyone how they can get in touch with you? I know we've already mentioned that you are available for workshops and you speak to young girls, but I know you also offer self-care parties. Tell them different ways that they can incorporate a lecture or a party with you, and then how they can contact you to do so.
Well, thank you. I like to look at this movement as an underground movement that seeps into the above ground activity. And the way that a true revolutionary movement happens is one person at a time, one group of people at a time, in homes, in very intimate settings. And so self-care parties is where I can come in, and if you have enough of your friends that are interested, then I'll come in and I'll talk about self-care. I'll have the products as well. What you'll come out of that with is how to create your own self-care plan, how to get really serious and strategic, and then how to do it in a group of people that are learning it with you. Sometimes we have close girlfriends, and we borrow and offer advice, and we just try to be there for each other, but it's random, it's sporadic, and sometimes we hit a bad month and we're not there for each other, or sometimes we hit a good month and we pour too much into each other. So having a self-care plan that you and your friends are able to focus in on provides this balance to these relationships we care about, and it also teaches us how to be there for ourselves. So I think the most important thing you will walk away with is at a self-care party is, how can I create this self-care plan just for me? How can I support my sisters? And then all the products, the self-care tools, are there to complement your journey. Of course, I teach dance as well, so we're going to end up moving a little bit. All of that is intertwined, but the self-care party would be a wonderful way for anybody to be able to participate. They can email selfcaresessions@gmail.com. That's selfcaresessions@gmail.com if they want to book a self-care party.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Mrs. Torres, for joining us. It has been delightful. And just overwhelming, and I don't know how to say it, but I'm excited about the movement. I'm glad I was able to get you on the line so that you can share the movement with us, and hopefully some other people will join in moving with you. How about that?
Well, I would love that.
Yes. As always, I always like to pub Infinite Healing. It's a holistic mobile spa in the Atlanta area. We come to the home for individual couples and groups providing mobile spa services like hand and foot treatments, massages,
and
our
self-facial
station.
Can I just say that I have partake in this service, and it is not only wonderful and relaxing and beneficial and a great self-care move, but dealing with Tashi and her business, with it being so professionally run, there's no stress in booking. There's no stress in it in her doing her part, and I just want to celebrate you, Tashi, for providing an excellent, divine service and being so professional at what you do.
Oh, wow. Thank you. I appreciate that. I wasn't expecting it. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's the truth. It's the truth.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And we've enjoyed you, and we appreciate you. And to my audience, thank you for listening. You can contact us at www.infinitehealingllc.com. And until the next time, take care. Goodbye.